Welcome to the Riverside Church Podcast. Riverside Church is a community of believers striving side by side for the gospel in the greater New Orleans area. For more information about Riverside Church, go to riversidelife.org.
Sitting is better than serving. This idea can be applied to many different settings. For the men in the room, perhaps this makes you think about when you get home from a long day of work, you're tired, you're worn out, you want to just come in and sit down. In those moments, sitting is better than serving. For the women in the room, and I'm thinking especially for the married women in the room, isn't it nice when your husband just comes to you and tells you, hey, don't worry about it, I'll clean up the dishes, I'll clean up the house, you just go have a seat on the couch. Sitting is better than serving in those moments. For the kids and the students in the room, you know this to be true as well. Nobody likes to come home to a long list of chores. You don't want that. It's better when you come home and you can just chill and hang out and sit down and watch TV, do whatever it is that you need to do. Sitting is better than serving. I know that some of you are hearing this morning and your radars are going off. Sitting can't be better than serving, you think. You think that I've got this backwards. You're the type that you would rather serve than sit. We got several of those in this church, and I'm thankful for you. And I think that you'll really identify with one of the characters in our story this morning. One of your pet peeves is laziness. Laziness is one of my pet peeves too. But you'll see in our story this morning, Luke chapter 10, you can join me there, Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, that sitting is better than serving. You can find our text this morning on page 507 of the Pew Bible, the blue ones. If you don't have a copy of God's Word with you, you can join me there. This is a familiar story, a very familiar story. You've heard it before if you've been in church, but it's one that reveals a precious truth that we need to be reminded of constantly in this world, especially in the age of the hustle and the bustle and the age when success is equated with how many things you're able to handle at once. In the age when people come up and they ask each other, how are you doing? You'll hear the word busy. You hear that word all the time. We are busy. Some of you, you probably think you know where this is going, and you want to turn me off. My challenge to you, don't turn me off just yet. I know that you're busy. You know that you're busy. You know that you should slow down. Some of you, you just don't want to slow down, and I get that. You like being busy. You like how busyness feels. You like accomplishing many things at once. Some of you may think about busyness, and you're like, I can't, there's no other way. I can't do anything else but be busy. I have kids. I have a husband. I have a wife. I might have grandkids. You have responsibilities. Slowing down isn't an option. But I want to ask you this question this morning. If the Bible clearly teaches us that sitting is better than serving, then why don't you trust it? The truth is, sitting may require you to make some sacrifices. But if we believe that this book, this scripture is true, then we can trust that those sacrifices, those things that you have to give up, are for your good. So I want to invite you this morning, open your minds, open your hearts, don't tune me out just yet. Join me on this journey through this familiar story. It's short, but it's familiar. Read with me Luke chapter 10. We're going to be in verses 38 through 42, and we're going to see what Jesus says about sitting and serving this morning. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Then tell her to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Very simple text this morning. We know that Jesus explains to Martha that it is better to sit at his feet rather than to serve him. And I've already said in my proposition to you a few times, but you'll hear it again. Sitting is better than serving. And here's the main point for this morning, if you're taking notes. Sitting at Jesus' feet is better than serving him. So we rearrange our priorities to reflect that truth. I'll read it one more time for you. Sitting at Jesus' feet is better than serving him. So we should rearrange our priorities to reflect that truth. As we consider this idea that sitting is better than serving, we can make sense of this idea through three aspects of our story that prove this to be true. The first is this, the difference in the sisters. The difference in the sisters. As Jesus enters the town of Bethany, he's greeted by a woman named Martha. Let me introduce you to Martha. We learn from this story that Martha is hospitable. She's welcoming. She loves the Lord, and she feels that the way to honor him is through meeting his needs. She's the one who's going to have the house clean when he's on the way. She's going to make sure all the clothes are picked up. She's going to be running around and fluffing pillows on the couch and wiping the kitchen counter to make sure that it's squeaky clean. She's going to be stressed out about that last-minute grocery run that she has to make, just to have all the food ready, to have this ginormous meal that she's going to make. Some of you can relate to Martha. I want to encourage you, as we think about these characters and the difference between the sisters, see which one you identify with more closely. There are women in my life who are like Martha in this way. They want everything to be just so when people come over. They want to have an elaborate meal planned out. They would like to do everything in their power to create a great experience for their guests. And let me just tell you, this is an honorable thing. This is a good thing. We see commands all throughout Scripture to be hospitable in this way. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9 says this, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Romans 12:13 says this, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Hebrews 13:2 says, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. So that's Martha. Martha is displaying biblical hospitality to our Lord. And this is a good thing, but you've heard me say it, and I'll say it again, sitting is better than serving. When we look at how the New Testament describes the 12 disciples of Jesus, they don't look like Mary. Let me introduce you to Mary. Look at verse 39 with me. Let's see what the text says about Mary. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. She sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. There's a couple of things that we can learn about Mary in this verse. First of all, she embodies the ideal posture of a disciple of Jesus. She has the ideal posture of a disciple of Jesus. I just mentioned the other 12 and how they fall short of this ideal discipleship idea. Think about the 12 disciples that you know and the stories in the New Testament. Take James and John, for example. More than once, they are recorded as arguing about who gets to sit at Jesus' right hand and left. They also ask Jesus to call down lightning and strike their enemies. That's why they earned the nickname the Sons of Thunder. We see Peter as well. Peter's the ultimate guy who, at least during the Gospels, he has these high moments and he has these low moments, but he suffers from this disease called foot-in-mouth disease. He's always saying the wrong things at the wrong times. When Jesus tells the disciples about his coming crucifixion, Peter looks at him and says, no, Lord, like you can't do that. That will not happen. And he gets rebuked, and Jesus tells him, get behind me, Satan. That's what happens with Peter, and we all know the story of Jesus' crucifixion. The night that he was betrayed, Peter ends up denying him three different times. He also, a less familiar story, at the Last Supper when Jesus is washing the feet of all of the disciples, he refused to let Jesus wash his feet. And so Jesus had to coerce him to convince him into letting him wash his feet. When you look at James, John, Peter, these are not model disciples. They fall short. They fail. How different is that from what we see here in this text from Mary? She has the correct posture of a disciple. There's no pride. There's no ego. There's no doubting. There's simply submission to her master. So that's what we see first in Mary. She embodies the ideal disciple. Secondly, we see in Mary a continual absorbing of the word of God. Not only was her posture correct, but her mindset was correct. She listened to his teaching. In the original language, this listening is ongoing. It's continuing. It's not a one-time event that stops. She is absorbing. She is hanging on to every single word that he says, mulling it over in her head and considering how this applies to her life. We don't know what Jesus was teaching them, but we do know that it's the word of God. Why do we know that Jesus is teaching them the word of God? Because he is God, and every word he speaks is the word of God. These sisters are very different, but they are both admirable in how they responded to our Lord. I'll start there. Before we get into talking about how sitting is better than serving, we do need to know that they're both admirable. Martha responds in hospitality and service. Mary responds in humble submission and hunger for his teaching. I asked you when I started this point to consider which one you relate to more. You'll probably find that you are more of a Mary or more of a Martha. You'll find that you naturally lean more toward hospitality and service, or you'll lean more naturally toward sitting and hearing the word of God. However, these two ideas, these two concepts should not be mutually exclusive. We should strive to be both servants and sitters. We should strive to serve and to sit. We should strive to hear the word of God and also live it out in our actions. If you're a hospitable servant, hunger for the word of God. If you identify with Martha, seek to be more like Mary. If you feel like you're more like Mary, seek to be more like Martha. My challenge to you is that you become a complete disciple, that you don't become satisfied with being a one-trick pony. God has gifted us in certain areas, yeah, but we should desire to grow in these other areas so that we can glorify our Lord in a variety of ways. First aspect, we saw the difference in the sisters. Now we're going to see the dilemma of the sisters. Look at verse 40 with me. But Martha was distracted with much, what's that next word? Read it to me. Serving. Let's try it again. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Then tell her to help me. But the Lord answered her. And we'll read his answer in just a moment. Picture this with me. Martha greets Jesus and the disciples as they come into town. She brings them into her home. They take a seat in her living room. They're hanging out and they're fellowshipping, and the Lord starts teaching. At this point, Martha gets up. She thinks to herself, oh gosh, I forgot to put dinner on. And she gets up and she goes to the kitchen and she starts working on the meal. Once again, great intentions here. It's an honorable thing for her to serve our Lord. But while Martha is preparing the meal, she'll peek her head into the living room from time to time. She's getting bits and pieces of what the Lord's saying in his teaching, but she's growing frustrated because she can't see the full picture. Y'all probably experienced that when you're trying to listen to somebody and you're also working on something else and you're only getting bits and pieces. That's a frustrating thing, and so we see that with Martha here. But also, in this growing frustration, there's the element of she's not understanding what the Lord is saying, but then she pans across the room and she sees Mary. She noticed that Mary hasn't moved an inch. She thinks to herself, Mary knew I got up. She knows that we needed to finish cooking dinner, but she's left me out to dry. So Martha's frustration grows more and more. She thinks about this as she goes, and I can just picture her working in the pot. She's stirring whatever meal they're going to have, and she's getting angrier and angrier. That's a scary sight when there's an angry woman in the kitchen. I know. Keep them away from the knives. But as she works, she gets madder and madder. And finally, she just can't stand it. And so she busts through the living room doors and she shouts at Jesus and she shouts, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." First of all, this is a bold question. Martha is a firecracker. She asked Jesus, the Messiah. This is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Prince of Peace. This is the God-man. And she says, "Do you not care? Whew. Do you not see what I'm doing, Lord? Do you not see the work that I'm doing for you? Do you not see the effort that I'm putting into doing things for your kingdom? And do you not see what she's doing over there? She's part of this family too. She's supposed to be serving you with me, but you're just going to let her sit while I do all of this preparation for you." And then my favorite part is the second sentence. She says, "Then tell her to help me." She tells Jesus what to do in this scenario. She assumes she's in the right. We often read stories like this, and I'm guilty of this too, but we think Martha's the worst. Like, this is terrible. Why would she say this to Jesus? Why would she talk like this? This is Jesus. But we got to remember when we read narratives that these characters are intended to be reflections of us. And here's a tip for reading the Gospels in particular. None of us are Jesus, by the way. We may be Mary and Martha, and we may be Peter or James and John, but we're never Jesus. So when we see Mary challenging Jesus in this way, we should remember that we've all had moments in our lives when we've been doing things for him. We've all felt at one time or another that he didn't care. I know I have in my life. Felt like I'm doing all these things for the Lord. I'm being obedient, and he's not acknowledging it. We've all had moments where we've looked at others, and we've seen how they're being blessed in a certain way, when they did absolutely nothing for God. We can all relate to Martha in this way. This morning, some of you may be there. You've been doing things for the Lord, but you've had a prayer need that isn't being met. You've been reading the word, you've been walking in obedience, but he seems far away. He seems like he's not hearing you. You've been walking in obedience, but he seems distant. He seems far. My encouragement to you is this: in this moment, don't give up hope. Keep seeking him, keep pursuing him, keep praying to him. He wants you to be close. He wants you to be near. He's the one who values sitting over serving. It's kind of his idea that he came up with. He's the one who wants communion with you. This brings us to the third aspect of our story. The third aspect is the decree about the sisters. The decree about the sisters. Jesus responds with so much grace. He responds with so much kindness, so much mercy. Despite being questioned about how he doesn't care, and then being told what to do. Despite that, he responds with gentleness. Look at verses 41 and 42. "But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary.'" One thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. So just think about this scenario with me. I encourage you, place yourself in the story. Watch it with me. Jesus is sitting there. He has this friend who is expressing her frustration with him. And when it comes time for Jesus to speak, he says, "Martha, Martha." One commentator wrote that this repetition, "Martha, Martha," conveys Jesus' affection for her, for his understanding of her predicament. Aren't you glad that Jesus meets us with grace and gentleness when we come at him with our frustrations? I may be alone with this, but I feel like I come to God with a lot of frustrations. I'll come tired and worn out and unsatisfied with my circumstances, and I'll lay it out there for him, sometimes like Martha did. And he listens. He hears us. He may gently correct us like he does with Martha in this text, but he sympathizes with our weaknesses, as Hebrews says. Jesus recognizes that Martha is anxious and troubled about many things. He sees how she would think preparing this meal would be important. He acknowledges that. He acknowledges that her stress is real. It's no secret that in today's world, there are plenty of things that can cause anxiety and feeling troubled. I find myself anxious and troubled a lot. This is so applicable to us today. After identifying her anxiety and her troubledness, he tells her that although she has these concerns, one thing is necessary. What's interesting about this text is that it doesn't explicitly tell us what this one thing is. We're forced to kind of read between the lines a little bit as interpreters of the Bible. But with the next sentence, Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her. It is clear that this one necessary thing is something that Mary is doing. What is Mary doing? We don't see a lot of what she's doing, but we see this. She's sitting. She's sitting before our Lord, and she's hearing his voice. That's all the text gives us. So, what I started with is what I'll conclude with. Sitting is better than serving. And you're probably thinking, yeah, we get it. We've heard you say it like 10 times now. But why does that matter? Why does it matter that sitting is better than serving? If you hold fast to this truth, it will transform your life. And here's why. The word sitting, it represents communion with God. What Jesus is teaching us through this story is that he values our communion more than our service. That fits with his character throughout Scripture. All through the Old Testament, the Jews kept making sacrifices. They kept doing religious things. But what didn't they do? They didn't walk with God. That's why he speaks to them through the prophets, and he says, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. Like I said earlier, service is not bad. The Scriptures clearly teach that we should serve God. We need to be faithful servants, and we need faithful servants within the body of Christ to do the work of the ministry, but God values our communion more than our acts of service. Woe to us if we become a people who is so focused on service that we miss out on the good portion. That's what the picture that Jesus gives us in verse 42. It's the picture of a meal. He's using a play on words here because Martha's act of service is making a meal. We got Thanksgiving coming up, and it's up for debate what the best portion of the meal is. I'm sure in this room we have plenty of different opinions on what the best part of the Thanksgiving meal is. But imagine if you went up to the buffet and you fixed your plate. But instead of going for your favorite portion of the meal, you went to the foods that you didn't like, and you just started stuffing your plate with that. That's so disappointing. That's just horrible. You'd never do that. Why would you never do that? Because the good portion is there. The good portion is right there, so why would we choose the lesser portions over it? That's what Jesus is inferring that we do when we elevate serving above sitting. We are choosing the lesser portion. We are choosing the turnip greens over the macaroni and cheese. We're choosing the food that stinks so bad that you want to plug your nose over the one with the best aroma. So, brothers and sisters, choose the better portion. I know that in here, some of you are looking at your life and you're thinking, I serve a whole lot. I do a whole lot of acts of service for Jesus, but I've neglected sitting with Jesus. I haven't spent time with him. Here's your hope. He's inviting you gently and graciously, like he does with Martha, to come and sit at his feet today. Your heart's still beating. There aren't zeros on the clock. You still have time. Take up his word. Carve out time in your schedules to sit in his presence in a spirit of prayer. I don't know what that's going to cost you. I know that there's going to be a sacrifice there, but choose the better portion. It's worth it. Prioritize that time and let nothing stand in the way of it, because it is the good portion. Some of you in here this morning may not be wrestling between sitting and serving, but a broader issue. You're wrestling with worldliness and godliness. You look at your life and you say, I don't serve, I don't sit with Jesus, I'm just a sinner. and you know that you've never given your life to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, my invitation to you today is the same. Come and take of the good portion. Jesus calls himself in the Gospel of John the bread of life. There is nothing in this world that can satisfy. There is no meal per se like Jesus. Everything else will leave you empty. Jesus says that all who come to him will eat and be satisfied. This good portion will never be taken from you. That's why he tells Martha that it won't be taken from Mary. So this morning, take and eat from Jesus. Turn from your sins, place your faith in Christ, receive the Holy Spirit. But regardless of where you stand this morning, if you're walking with God or not, take the good portion. Take of Jesus, because sitting is better than serving. Let's pray together.